Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the verse that you see on the screens in front of you, Ephesians 4:16. I had planned to bring this series to a close today, the series entitled, What a Mighty God We Serve, and it was just one of those weeks where God just kept giving and giving and giving more and more and more, and we're not going to end it today. We've got to have one more Sunday next week because there's something so just so incredible that I have to share with you next Sunday, and I was going to try to squeeze it in today, and it just wouldn't be fair to do that. I want to take today and just present a very straightforward, very simple lesson about the body of Christ and how you and I, as members of the body, fit in to this grand picture that we've been looking at of God's vast creation of the universe and His amazing creation of you and I as human beings. And where do we fit into that? We've taken the last few weeks and looked at how we fit into that picture as individuals, how you and I are to go about trying to find our purpose in life for God and hit the mark for Him. And last Sunday, we started talking about a little bit how we fit into that picture, not as individuals, but as a body together. And today, I want to bring kind of part two of that, talking about the body of Christ and how we fit into this. And then next Sunday, God willing, we'll bring this series to a close. Some of you, I'm sure, remember the Peanuts cartoons. Who was the guy that did that? Was it Charles Schulz, I think? He did the Peanuts cartoons. And there was a great one where Linus was in the room watching television, and Lucy, who could be a little bit of a tough gal, came in and she said to Linus, "Change the channel." And Linus said, "What makes you think you can just barge in here and tell me what to do?" And she said, "These five fingers make me think I can barge in here and tell you what to do." She said, "Individually, they're not much. But when I ball them up together like this, they become something fierce." And Linus said, "What channel would you like?" And then in the last frame of that cartoon, you see little Linus looking away in the other direction and talking to his hand, talking to his fingers and saying, "Why can't you guys work together like that?" It's a great picture of the body of Christ coming together and working together, and how individually we can't do that much, but together we can work for God and we can do great things. Ephesians 4:16, if you have that, look at it with me. It says, "From Him, that is Christ, the whole body, which is the church." Okay? So from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There are two main conditions in this verse that I see that cause the body to grow and build itself up in love. One is at the very beginning of the verse. It's the two little words, "from Him." The other condition is at the very end of the verse. It says, "as each part does its work." The parts of our human body grow and function properly only when they get instructions from the head and only as they work together, each part doing what it was designed to do. And as the church, which is called the body of Christ, you and I are called members of that body, and Christ is the head of that body. In fact, Ephesians 5:23 and 24 tells us that Christ is the head of the church, His body. And it says that we as the church are to submit to Christ. Colossians 1:18 tells pretty much the same thing. It says that He is the head of the body, the church. As members of Christ's body, let me ask you this morning, are we getting our instructions from the head? Or are we going through life making our own plans, doing our own thing, living our own way, and still hoping to be effective Christians. If we ever hope to live out our life in purpose for Him, then we must make sure that we're getting our instructions from the head of the body. See, here's the thing. The parts of our body become completely useless if they are cut off from the head. Here's an example. This is an example in my own family. Someone who's a paraplegic, my father is. He had an accident when he was 18 playing football. He's never walked a step since. What happened? His legs are still there. They're still connected to the body, but they're useless. Why? Because a vital nerve connection that once joined his legs to his head was severed. And although his legs are still there, they're still part of his body, they do not function as legs any longer. You know why? Now here's a very important truth, church. Listen to this. Because legs do not know how to be legs on their own. They still look like legs. They're still joined on, but now they've become dead weight to the body because they're no longer getting their instructions from the head. You see, legs only know how to be legs because the head teaches them how to be legs. That is a powerful, powerful application for the body of Christ. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, may have points in our life where we think, man, I can figure this out. I know how to live the Christian life. I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. You and I will never learn how to function as we were designed to function because we don't know in the spiritual sense how to be what God has made us to be. It is only when we remain connected to the head that we will have vitality, that we will be useful to the body of Christ. If you think for a minute that you as a Christian can live disconnected from the head of the church, if you think that you can live your life apart from receiving instructions from Christ on a constant basis, then my friend, you're dead wrong. You can't do it. We weren't designed for that. Acts 17:28 says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." Jesus Himself said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abide in me and I in him, he will bring forth much fruit. But apart from me," Jesus said, "you can do nothing." Nothing. Oh, we can do lots of things in the physical sense without Him. But we can't accomplish anything in the spiritual sense without Jesus Christ. You say, well, what's the way to stay connected to Him? I mean, how exactly do I make sure that I do that? I believe there are a number of very good and very right answers to that. I've boiled it down to three. I think these are the three main vital lifelines for every Christian. And we know these. I'm just reminding you today of these things. Like I said last week or the week before that Peter said, you know, in 2 Peter, you know these things. I know you know these things, but I'm reminding you of them anyway because they're important. The first vital way that you need to make sure you stay connected is to read your Bible. You go, man, what is this, a Sunday school class? I mean, that's just so simple. Can't you give us something deeper than that? Golly, we got dressed, we came here so you can tell us to read our Bible. Yeah, you see, if anybody's thinking that, that's really part of the problem, is that we think we've graduated beyond the simple stuff. The truth is, if you as a Christian are not in God's Word on a regular basis, you are disconnected from the head. God cannot feed you His instructions. You will be open to sin like never before. It is God's Word, God's Word, God's Word that keeps us where we need to be in life. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not," what? "Sin against Thee." It's His Word. If you're having trouble with sin, are you getting into the Word? Are you allowing His Word to flow through you and change your mind? Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If you're having problem finding direction in life, are you in the Word? Are you staying connected to the head of the body by reading the Bible? The second thing, again, is so simple, why mention it? Pray. Are you praying as a Christian? Do you spend time communicating with your Heavenly Father? Do you talk to Him in prayer? Do you listen to Him in prayer? Jeremiah 33:3 is a great promise. We forget it sometimes. It says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." One of the translations, I believe it's the Message, says, "Call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you things you could never figure out on your own." I love that. It's prayer. Prayer. It's such an overlooked, underused tool for the Christian. We pray when we get in trouble and we reach points in our life where we've tried everything else and we say, "Well, I guess all we can do now is pray." Wow. What a statement. And God in heaven says, "You know what? If you just started with that, this whole thing would have taken a different direction. I'm up here. I'm waiting. If you call upon me, I will answer you." Guys, we have some of the most powerful prayer times together here on Wednesday nights, just a little group of us gathered together. I'm telling you, there are some Wednesday nights, and I'm ashamed to admit this as a pastor of this church, but I'm just like you. I'm stuck in this flesh. I fight this stuff all week. There are some Wednesday nights when the last place I want to be is here. You can go ahead and fire me if you want to. I know that's an awful confession. But, you know, it's midweek and there's so much going on and maybe you have a migraine that day or whatever. And I just, "Oh, okay, prayer time, let's go." Shame on me for feeling that way. I don't feel that way every week, by the way, so don't panic. But I'm just telling you, sometimes I do. I do. I feel that way, just like you. But I will tell you this. I have never left a prayer time on Wednesday night feeling worse than when I came in. Never. Not once. Every time I walk out of this building on Wednesday night, I am fired up. I feel like I could change the world. Why? Because some of us sat in a circle and we talked to God. Amazing things happen when we pray. We need to read our Bible. We need to pray. And the third simple thing that we need to do is we need to stay connected to other believers. The parts of the body were designed to be healthy and useful only as long as they're connected to the rest of the body. You see, if a person had their arm removed and the arm was laying there on a table, would it still be an arm? Well, yeah. In the technical sense of the word, it would still be an arm. But it would be a useless arm. Why? Still an arm. It would be a useless arm because it is no longer connected to the body. Now, I've known Christians who say, "I don't need to be part of a church. I can worship God just fine from my boat on the lake on Sunday morning." Well, here's the thing, church. Don't miss this. That's true. You see, not all lies come packaged as lies. In fact, most lies come packaged as truth. You can worship God from somewhere else on Sunday morning. You can worship God from anywhere. But Satan takes that truth and he weaves into it a tiny lie that gets people to say, you know what, I'm a Christian and that's enough, and I don't see why I need to be part of the body of Christ. I mean, church, yeah, come on, that's for somebody else. I'm going to tell you something, gang. I know I walk a very, very fine line when I say this, but I don't believe that a person can truly live the Christian life apart from the body of Christ. I just don't believe that. We weren't designed that way. God didn't create the church that way. And if anybody here or anybody listening to this recording anywhere around the world thinks that as a Christian, you can live your life independently from the church, from the body of Christ, I just want to tell you in love, you are headed for a fall. You're headed for trouble. Ephesians 4:16, the very last part of that verse that we looked at says that the body grows and builds itself up in love as what happens? As each part does its work. Here's the thing that I really want to drive home to you today. And it's awesome. I had a conversation with one of our guys just before the service. He had no idea what I was going to speak on, but he just nailed this right on the head. Every one of you, as believers in Jesus Christ, are a vital part of the body of Christ. Every one of you. One of the things that hurts my heart the most when thinking about the church and what has happened to the church over the centuries is when I think about this horrible division that came into the church, really starting with Constantine and all that he set up in the Roman church, this division that separated guys like me with the gift of teaching and who are called to fill this role that I'm filling right now. They separated us from all of you. And they took people with my gifts and put them up on this big high platform and started dressing them in all these fancy robes and these big tall hats. And what that did in the church was it said to everybody out there, you don't count. And you don't matter in the church. It's that guy up there. He's the one. He's the man. And you folks know, if you've been here long enough, that we have made a consistent effort in this church to tear down that gap and to bridge it completely. I'm always honest with you guys up here about my life and my failings and my faults, because I don't want you to put me on a pedestal. I don't want you to put your faith in me. Don't you dare do that. I will let you down. Write that down. I'm telling you now. I will let you down. I will fail you. Because I'm human. The point of saying all that is to try to say again for the 50th time, my gifts are no more special, no more valuable, no more important in the church than whatever your gift is. A guy said to me this morning before the service, he said, you know that spiritual gifts thing you handed out a long time ago? He said, well, I got around to filling that out and doing that. And he said, I found that one of my main gifts is the gift of helps. And he said, if you ever need me to use that gift to do anything, I'm ready and I'll do it. Of course, I already knew that about that man because I've seen him living out that gift already in this church. But you see, it's so easy for Satan to come and say, well, you know, the people that are up here singing or the guy that's up here flapping his mouth every week, you know, talking the whole time, they're the ones with the gifts that matter. And because, you know, because I have the gift of mercy, someone may say, or because I have the gift of hospitality, well, I don't bring much to the church. Listen, I wish I could wave a magic wand and make all of that disappear and make us believe the truth about that. Whatever gift God has gifted you with is critical, critical to the life of this church. I want to read some verses from 1 Corinthians 12. If you want to turn there, you can. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in
Well, let's start in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. It says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form how many bodies? One body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now Paul's about to use some comical word pictures here to try to get this point across. He says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, imagine how freaky that would be to see some big eyeballs walking around, especially if they hadn't had much sleep the night before. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Jump down to verse 27 for time's sake. Here's his last kind of thought on this. He says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The body of Christ, the church, just like your body that we looked at a few weeks ago, is made up of many diverse parts. Completely different parts. Feet don't function like eyes do. Eyes don't have the same job as the heart does. The heart can't feel what your skin feels. And yet every part in your body is working together, though they are completely different. They are working together. Why? Because they're all taking instructions from one head, and because they all remain connected together. Now here's the thing. The body of Christ, this church, and any church is going to be made up of some very different kinds of people. You and I will never agree on everything, and we're not supposed to. Oh, I don't mean the major things. You remember, we talked about that a long time ago. Major doctrine, minor doctrine, and personal preference. We need to become wise enough to know what to put in which category. If you and I don't agree on major doctrine, we do have a problem. Because I'm not changing my doctrine for you or for anybody else that comes in here. Personal preference, some people like things one way, some people like things another way. Guys, we are going to be a diverse group of people from the get-go. We need to understand, though, that we can have unity, not so much despite our diversity, but we can have unity because of our diversity. If every piece of a puzzle were shaped the same, you'd never get it together to make a picture. It is because of our diversity that we can come together and form one body. Don't ever get caught into the lie by Satan that says, well, because I see something different than her, she sees something different than me, we can't have fellowship. That is not true. The body is made up of many, many diverse parts. Here's the beautiful thing. I know you won't believe me when I tell you this, but believe me anyway. I don't have all the gifts. I know I see the look of shock on your face. What? You don't? I thought you did. I don't have all the gifts. I'm not even close. I have found that I'm really good at a couple of things, and that's it. I'm talking about spiritually in the body. I'm really good at a couple of things. But here's the secret. Don't let this out. I'm really bad at a whole lot of things in the church. Now, as a matter of fact, our leadership team, you know, went through kind of a bit of a difficult, not a difficult period, but just a period of sort of awakening a couple of months ago, where I had come to the point where I said, guys, I'm drowning. I'm dying. I can't keep all these plates spinning. And I had been trying to. The fact is, I was doing well at the couple of things I was doing well at, and I was trying to get good at all these other things that I will never be good at. Ever. Here's the beautiful part, though. The parts of me that are missing, what's awesome to see is God bring somebody into the church who fills that empty part and says, hey, pal, don't worry about it. I got you covered. I'm right here. I'm the part that you've been missing, and I can take over. I can help you with that. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I credit the leadership of this church for the way that they came through that couple of months, and we've tried to put some pieces in place and handle that, and I thank them for that. A pastor I was reading a book from a few months ago said, there's no such thing as a well-rounded leader. And I was like, you know what? That I've never thought about that, but that's really, really true. There's no such thing as a well-rounded leader. We're all lopsided. You are too. You're great at certain things, and you're lousy at other things. That's how the body can come together and work together to form one unit. Christian author Randy Frazee has a son who was born without a left hand. And he tells this incredible story of something that happened to his son in Sunday school one morning. The teacher was there with the class, and she was telling them about the church. And she got them to do that little thing that probably every one of us have done in Sunday school, where you put your hands together and you say what? You say, this is the church, and this is the steeple. Okay, come on, everybody do it together. This is the church, and this is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Well, besides that being absolutely theologically incorrect, it's a great little thing to get our kids off track and teach them what the church is not. This is not the church, okay? We understand that at LifePoint, right? The people inside are the church. Well, don't get me started on that whole deal. Where was I? So Randy Frazee's son was in Sunday school, and the teacher, before she even thought, she said, okay, boys and girls, put your hands together and let's make the church. And she realized, oh my goodness, he doesn't have a left hand. Before she could say anything, the little boy who was sitting right beside Randy's son, who had been a friend of his since childhood, leaned over and said, here, let's do it together. I'll be the left hand, and you be the right hand, and we can make the church together. Wow! That is a picture of the church in action. Listen, folks, I don't have a left hand. I have a right hand, and I'm working this hand for God so hard that I have calluses on it. Who is a left hand out there? You have a right hand, but maybe you don't have a left hand. Who is a left hand who can come along and say, hey, it's okay, I'm here. Let's do it together. And we can be the body of Christ together. Your gift is vital to this church. It's vital. Without you, we are missing pieces. Without you, we are dragging dead weight, working extra hard. Imagine if you woke up in the morning and your arm just quit working. I mean, just would not move. You looked at it, you said, move, and it just lay there. Imagine, you try this sometime. You won't get more than 15 minutes. Try to get up in the morning, and whatever your dominant hand is, just lay it by your side and don't move it. You try to shave, you try to get dressed, you try to change the gear lever in your car. You can't do anything. You have to relearn how to function altogether. It's like somebody who's had a stroke. They have to learn the whole process again, and the other parts of their body have to do what? They have to pick up the slack. They have to carry extra weight. The body was not designed to function that way. The body was designed by God in a symmetrical fashion, a balanced fashion, to work together to be the body of Christ. But it's only when we're connected together that we can truly function. Listen to this. This is so cool. I love discovering things like this. When cardiac cells come together to form your heart, when you're being developed in your mother's womb, they come together, and at just the right second, all the valves, everything open up at just the right second, and that heart starts doing its job. Boom, 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 and it beats for your whole life. This is so awesome. Scientists found that when they remove individual cardiac cells and place them on a glass slide under a microscope, that each of those individual cardiac cells continue to pulsate, but now they're pulsating at a different rhythm. Boom, 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 boom. They're all beating at a different rhythm. But watch this. This blew scientists away. As they observed this through the microscope, they're watching this. Those cardiac cells actually started reaching out for each other. And when they touched, they both started beating at the same rhythm. And they discovered that each cardiac cell, each individual cell, emits an electronic frequency. And as soon as they touch and they all join together, they all start beating at the same rhythm again. Boom, 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 boom. Isn't that awesome? What a picture! When you separate yourself from the body of Christ, you're going to be beating at your own rhythm and at your own peril. But when we reach out together and we connect as the body of Christ, there can be incredible unity. Snowflakes are one of nature's most fragile things. And you know, snowflakes by themselves really can't accomplish much of anything. One individual snowflake can't do much of anything. But as one author so brilliantly pointed out, you get a whole bunch of snowflakes together and they can shut down a city. That's the power of unity. And so it is in the body of Christ. On our own, we really can't accomplish that much for God. But together, together, connected to the one head who is Christ, and connected to each other, all with our different patterns, just like individual snowflakes, all with our different likes and dislikes, all with our diversity, we can come together and we can shut down a city. We can do amazing things for God. So the question I close with, two-part question, is what is your part in the body of Christ? And are you doing your part? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for designing all of this to work just as you did. Thank you for the brilliance of the design of your church and how, Lord, it really is so incredibly simple, and we just tend to overcomplicate it. We tend to bring our own baggage into it and just make things harder than it needs to be. Lord, it's just a matter of diverse people coming together, being connected to Christ, who is the head, receiving our instructions from Him and working together as a body. I pray, Father, for this church. I thank you for what you've started here. I thank you for the people that you've brought here. people with gifts that are so beautiful. People who have such a heart to want to use those gifts for you. I ask you, Lord, that you would take this church, each individual member, help us to know what to do with the gifts that you've given us, and Lord, light a fire underneath each of us that would set us on a course of motion for you that would be unstoppable in this world. God, my goal is when my life is over that not that LifePoint Church have a whole lot of people here. What in the world would that accomplish? Lord, I pray you'll bring more people here. We want to grow, but my goal, Father, when this is all said and done, is that LifePoint Church would be the kind of church that will make an incredible impact on the lives of others for eternity. I pray that we would be about our mission as a church to worship God, to win the lost, and to make disciples. Help us, Lord, as we do our best to bring our gifts together, to form one body, and to work for you. I pray that you would be pleased by it all. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.